shines, blaze its day. May brighter
take your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the first couple verses here. Romans chapter 5. We look at our theme this year, and we see that it is access to the throne of grace. We've spent some time, not a lot, it's just in March now, but we've spent some time helping us to understand what the throne of grace is all about. And we have more to go. But I want to focus this morning on the word access. Access. I want to ask you the question, what does it mean to have access? Think just for a minute, what does it mean to have access? What is access? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we actually see that word used here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we see two parts of this verse. First of all, we see that faith is used for, first of all, our salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith. And isn't it true that our faith is what justifies us? Our faith, our trust, our dependence placed upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross is what justifies us. So that finished work, and we have faith. And so just as our faith brings us to justification, and then he says, by whom also. And so there's a second thing, we have access by faith. And so faith also brings us to access. So I go back to the question, what is access? Access. Well, there's a couple things that access implies. Access implies non-access, right? If we have access to something, that really does indicate that there are some, or there are places that we don't have access to. I have access to certain places and I don't have access to other places. And just thinking of access just implies that there's something special, there's something different that I actually can go into. I have access. Again, meaning If everything was open, think about it this way. If everything was at your disposal, there would be no need for the word access, right? Because, I have access to everything, but we probably wouldn't even use the word because it's there. I can partake of whatever I want to. I can enter into any room. I can go. I can do anything. I can see anybody that I want to see. I have access, but we wouldn't use the word. We use the word because there are some things that we don't have access to. I don't have access to that. I don't have a key. I don't have a card. I don't have credentials. I don't have a way in. Access. So access implies non-access. It also implies, in a sense, special privilege, because all don't have access, right? If all don't have access and I do, then it indicates something special. Why did I get a key? Why did I get a card to enter? Why did I get privilege to attend? What are the reasons we sometimes get special privileges? Think about the times that you have been invited or you've gotten something that is a special privilege. Not all were able to attend. Not all were able to go. Not all were able to partake of this. And so what are the reasons we sometimes get special privileges? When we look at this phrase here used in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. So this phrase, access into his grace, that phrase is very, very typical of using, we could also say favor. By whom, we have this favor from God. So God has given us some favor, special privileges with God. And the question would lead, how do I get special privileges with God? Would you like special privileges with God? If God were to somehow come down to you and say, hey, Jim, I have special privileges for you to me. Well, that would sound good, right? Oh, special privileges with God, right? And of course, it's implied, but would you feel special? If God came to you and says, Roger, I have special privileges for you, we would feel special. We would feel privileged. We would feel that access. And what, again, let me go back. What would be implied is I have something that others don't. If you got a note in your bulletin this morning that seemed handwritten, that had your name, and it says, Skip, you have special privileges. Go here and receive this. Skip would open up his bulletin and he would see that and he would be like, wow, special privileges. I get to. But the fact of the matter is Ken behind him opened up his bulletin and his said the same thing, but the word or the name Ken was there. But he doesn't know that, And behind him, he's got Rodney. And Rodney opened up. And they're all three thinking special privileges. But it doesn't take too long to recognize that everybody got that. Now, question. Is that special privileges if everybody got it? Not really. Because it's for everyone. Have you ever gotten some of those things in the mail? They even have the technology now with the computers. It looks handwritten. And it's got your name, and it almost seems to apply only to you. But wait a second. This was handed out to everybody in the neighborhood. There's nothing special about me, and there's nothing special about this invitation here. That's not access. It's not access. So how do we get special privileges or favor with God that is unique? I would love special privileges. And I guess that you would also. It would have been probably July, early August, 2001, that I received word. We, there was about four or five of us that were invited to the White House in Washington, D.C., to go and potentially be able to see the then President George Bush. Okay? I don't know what you think of him, but that's beside the point. He's a president. President of the United States. Now, giving you the date, what do we know was about to happen? 9/11, 2001. Okay? So in 2001, got this invitation to go. And boy, what am I thinking? Special privilege, right? And I was able to go that day. It was a summer day, and me and a few other guys were able to go over to the White House, and we were able to get access into that. I don't know where we went. I know we went out then into the Rose Garden, made our way out there into an open field where the president would sometimes land. Some of you have heard this story before, but I was able to go there, and there was a group of people. It wasn't a large group, but there was a group of people that had been given a special privilege to go out there, and we were out there on the lawn, and we were waiting, and we just waited, and I didn't really know what to expect, but after a little while of waiting, and we were behind a roped area, so that we were kind of fenced off, but there was a rope in front of us, and I say there wasn't a lot of people, but there were probably a couple hundred people there, and we're waiting, and next thing we know, off in the distance in the air, we would see there was a dot that looked like a helicopter coming, and get excited. Here he comes. And then, but not far behind that, there was a second helicopter that was kind of doing the same pattern, coming behind. And then there was a third helicopter. And I think there might have been about four helicopters that kind of came in, and they did some circling and doing this, and you didn't. And it was kind of interesting because you didn't know, and you were like thinking, which one is the president in? And we didn't know. And they would come and do all this, and at the same time, then three took off and one landed. There's the president. And so anyway, we waited there, and the president and his wife, and I don't know if she had a little dog or something like that, they got out, and so of course security, and they came there, and they were going to come as we looked to them. They were going to come to our left, and they would start, and they would shake a few people's hands before they went in. And it didn't last very long. Out of a couple hundred people, they shook a few people's hands and then disappeared, went in. And we were done, and we left. And I don't know how it worked other than God, but somehow I was able to maneuver myself in and stick out my hand, and I was able to shake his hand and got in there. And really quick, when I was shaking his hand, my friend that was with me quick snapped the picture, got it. Somehow that picture's gone with the move. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where that picture is, but you say, you need to show me a picture to prove it. Well, I don't have a picture to prove it, but you just have to trust me. But I haven't washed my hands. No, just kidding. I'm totally kidding about that. And so, you know what? I felt a special privilege that day. You know, I shook the president's hand and got to take a picture with him really quick. And there was only a handful of people that got to do that. What was it that got me that special privilege that day? Romans chapter 5, let's look down at this. By whom we have access. Everyone doesn't have access. Not all people have access. Not all people have a special privilege with God. We're not speaking of a president, we're speaking here with God. But I want you to notice a few points this morning before we're dismissed that I think are important for us to understand about our lives. First of all, we see here, as we look at this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord. What is it? What are the means in which we have peace with our Lord? I ask you the question, and really we're talking about our salvation. What is it that we have peace with God? Well, we see here, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do we have to thank this morning for our salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Question that I already know the answer. Are you grateful and thankful that God has given you privilege and opportunity to trust Him, receive Him, and to have eternal life? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that when you die, you know where you're going? We ought to be so grateful. I cringe to think about not knowing. I don't understand how people in religion can go to bed at night and scare you to death. Okay? I don't understand how people can live and not have that understanding and knowledge that they have that access to eternal life. I have it, and you have it. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ here, you have that faith. You've got that dependence. You've got that security that we all want to have. And I praise the Lord that these things are written unto you that ye may know. You can know based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, dependence on His work, that you can have eternal life. But, you know, somehow we think that we naturally have favor with God, even though we know it was because of Him. Maybe because of our goodness, we have favor with God. You're living life and you think, well, I'm a special privileged individual. When I was in public high school, back in, what was that, 90, 92 to 95, I was there in the high school, and I lived on a cattle ranch, and so I wasn't in town. I didn't grow up with the kids playing in the streets and doing all the stuff that they did. I came in, and it didn't take too long that because of doing well in the sports that I played and doing well, that quickly I was able to, you know, on the starting teams and did well, and because of that kind of earned respect because of just what I was, I guess. When I got into high school, I had done well with the lifting and the football there, and I got into high school. And there was something about it, you know, they do initiations all the time. And in fact, we were very scared of some of those things. In fact, there were some horror stories that came along with some of those types of initiations where we came from. I'm talking about horror stories. I'm talking about death situations in some cases. Police had to get involved. And I remember living that way. It was very true. There was a kid died from it. They would go and they'd line kids up on a cliff. And they would do things to him, whatever, like that. And kids would get scared. And one kid fell off one time, and he died. And it was a thing that it was kind of a sad situation there. But everybody was scared to death of getting, you know, being thrown into back of pickups and hauled up to the top of the mountain there, and have to go up. You know, it was Rock Springs, Wyoming, a big RS there. You know, painted. You know, most towns have, you know, something like that if there's any sort of hill. At least out west they do. I don't know if they do out here. Not seeing it out here, but you know, go see this. Well, we had that out there, and so we were everyone would live in fear, but for some reason, because of my success in sports, I was protected. And some of the seniors that were on the football team protected me, and there was only a few of us that I didn't have to go to it. And they said, if anybody touches you, you know, there and whatever. But the same thing, and even the football team had its own initiations, and I remember you know, being in fear of some of those things. But I was so grateful for some reason. I had special privileges, and I was pulled out of many of those things and I didn't have to do it. Well, I had that special privilege that many others did not. When I went into college and played for Maranatha, now Maranatha University, Baptist University, same thing happened. Because of the success that I had had, I was able to be pulled out of some of those things. And so I have experienced some of that feeling of access that was there. Maybe you understand that you have had certain privileges, but sometimes we get to thinking that we're very special because of who we are. And I'll tell you that when I was not being hauled off to the mountain, when I was not having to go through some of these things, I felt very special and privileged. I felt that. And you know, I think it was a good thing in a sense. It was a good thing in a sense that I got to miss out on some of those things. I'm still grateful that I didn't have to partake of that. But the fact of the matter is it probably had an effect on my thinking, though, that you are a special person. You know, when we get to thinking that way, then we get to thinking that there must be, you know, that I'm elite and I'm unique, you know, and I don't, you know, have to go through this. So sometimes we get to thinking that we have a naturally good favor with God. And we think that because of this favor with God, we have access. I'm in with God because I'm one of the elite. I'm not like all the other people. Now, you can look at this and you can see the error with it, but I want you to think just for a moment. Don't we sometimes get to feeling like I did when I was in high school? Don't we sometimes get to feeling that in our Christian lives, especially when we look around and say, you know what? Naturally, I've got favor with God because of who I am. Maybe it's because of a position that I have. Well, you know, I'm the pastor of a church. Well, certainly God has favor with me. I am a deacon in the church, and because of that and my service, I have favor with God. Or because I am a hard worker in the backdrop of the church, and certainly I have favor with God. You know, our position. Maybe sometimes because of our relation with other people, we feel like we have favor with God because of well, I'm related to so and so, and because I have this heritage, that God must favor me. Our position, our relation, our maybe the context, the people that we know, because I know them, I've got favor. I know the people who can get me that access. I know the people that can get me that favor, and so I have favor. But folks, there's an error to that sort of thinking. You say, but God, doesn't God love me in spite of, doesn't God, well, God does love us. And God does favor us. And God does grace us. And God does give to us. And sometimes we can think that because we are special people, we have special privileges and we have access to Him. You know, very practically, this comes into our prayer life. Well, God, because of who I am and what I do, certainly, God, you'll hear me. Because I am this person, and because I am in this position, and because I know these people, and because I'm a special person, I've got access. And so, God, I come to you accessing your mercy and your grace. Sometimes we think that we have favor with God because of our hard work as well. We have done things in order to please God. Many of us in times in our life probably have worked really hard for someone. When I say for someone, I'm talking about we've worked really hard so that they will recognize us, so they'll see us. Maybe to earn favor. when the boss comes, when dad comes, when the teacher comes, all of a sudden we begin to work harder and we begin to really apply ourselves. Why? Because we want the recognition. You know, sometimes in life it's just not who we are, it's what we do. And we think that if I can perform and if I can do this, certainly then I'll gain that favor. And we even apply that to our relation or a fellowship with God. Well, God is well pleased with me because I am knowledgeable in the scriptures and I understand. And you understand when we say that we feel like we've got this favor or this access, we are also implying that others don't. And we're implying that there's something special about us. Well, I happen to know because I have studied or because I just know. Sometimes we feel favor because of how much we do, the service that we have given. I have been there when others have not. I have done this work and others have not. And I was the one that was there when they were not. And I have done this. And God certainly is pleased with me. We think that because we have sacrificed and we have given to the cause of Christ with our money or our resources, of our time, that we somehow have earned access or earned favor with God because of what we have sacrificed or what we have given. Well, I gave of my own means and I did this for, and therefore I have favor with God. I am pleasing God. You might be a person here this morning that you have given much care and concern for other people around you. I was there when no one else was. And I have shown my love and care for these while others have not. And I have been there through the thick and the thin while there were no other people there. And certainly, certainly, I have earned favor with God. Now, you know the truth of what I'm telling you, but isn't it true, though? We sometimes feel a special privilege and favor with God because of who we are and what we've done. I mean, think back to Jesus Christ at the time of Pentecost when all was going on. And the Father said what of his Son? He says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Folks, do you understand something that there's a lot to it, I understand, but the idea that we please God. God is pleased because of his Son. You see, the Father is pleased in the Son. It's the Son that pleases the Father. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, it says that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Him referring to who? The Son, Jesus Christ. How is God pleased? Folks, can I tell you, it's a misnomer to think that we can please God. Titus chapter 3 tells us what about our works of righteousness? You ought to know, I quote it all the time for you. For our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that what? Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, not of yourself, and not of works. Lest any man should boast. But somehow, we think that we have special privileges with God. We have access with God. We can please God by who we are and what we do. And I have many times in my life felt that way. God, well, I'm not like the other people. I give in church. I give of my time. I read my Bible. I pray for longer periods of time than I think that anybody else does. Who does that sound like? You remember the two guys praying? It sounds exactly like that. And you know what? When we get to that story, we're like, that guy was bad. But folks, some of the times when we approach the throne of grace, you know how we're praying? It's just kind of in the backdrop. We're kind of thinking, God, I know we're together because I'm a special person. I've got these credentials and I've done this. And you know what? They're certainly you're listening to me, God. You see, and maybe some of you still are connecting this, but I want you, let me make it more practical. When you have done wrong and you deserve nothing and you're praying, what do you feel? I can't get anything today because of what I've done, right? And on days when you have done it and everything's checked off, what do you feel like? I can pray today. God's going to hear me because I'm putting in the time. Somebody recently asked me about fasting during praying. And it's in the scriptures, it's biblical, and it's something that we ought to do. But it's something that we ought to learn about. Fasting is supposed to be a humble experience. Many people abuse fasting as a proud experience. And you know, even in fasting, we can say, well, God, I skipped part of my breakfast. I didn't drink that orange juice. You know I love orange juice. I said no to it today. And you're laughing because that's probably not what you do. But we say, God, breakfast is my favorite meal. And I said no to it today. Certainly today, I've got your ear. I didn't eat lunch either, God. I really did a work. God, you know me. I need to eat all three meals. And I said no to two. God, hear me when I pray. Because, and we get to thinking that we somehow deserve, right? And certainly if we go all day, I didn't eat a morsel of food. God, you've heard my prayer and I'm the most blessed person on the face of the earth. Some of you, maybe God has led you and you've done it for 2 days or 3 days or something. And we get to thinking that even though we know everything that I've already shared, we get to thinking that our works are somehow earning us favor with God. But that is not what these two verses are telling us. It is not who we are, and it is not what we do. It's not. We can't please God in that way. I started off with the illustration of I got the special privilege to go to the White House that day and get access to that place so that I could reach my hand in there and shake George W. Bush's hand. But you see, there's a missing part to that story. I had a friend that I went to college with that was doing an internship in the White House that summer. He was given a certain amount of tickets or vouchers or whatever you need to do it. And he was the one that called us up and said, hey, I've got these. I was doing an internship in a pastoral internship in Baltimore, and so it was close. I can think all I want to that I was a privileged person, that I was picked among millions of people to go do this, when the fact of the matter is I was just doing an internship there and I was one of the interns. And he called the pastor of the church and say, hey, do your interns and the staff want to come over and do this? I was just part of the crew. But you see, my friend, Ken Barbeck, that I went to school with at Maranatha, who was one of these, well, he was way smarter than I. I couldn't talk to the guy hardly because he was so smart, and he was in business, and he was always, you know, he had it in. And well, anyway, he did his internship there, and in 2018, President Trump appointed him to one of the positions of with the USDA. He's with the farmers and the food and agriculture and all that. He's with that. And he was appointed by Trump for that, and he is still there, and he works. I was looking him up this week because I was doing this message, and I was remembering that, and he is still there, and he still is working there in the White House under President Trump again, and he is still there doing that. And so, anyway, I messaged him on what day it was, on Friday. I didn't hear back. And then late last night, he got back to me and said, "Hey, Sean, how are you doing?" And hopefully we're going to catch up here a little bit. But he's still there under President Trump there. And, you know, I can feel privileged all I want to, but question for you, is any of what I'm telling you have anything really to do with me? What do you think? No. It has everything to do with another person, right, that is there. Now, my final question as we get ready to close is, who is that person for us that is everything to our access with God? What's the answer? Yeah. What is Romans 5, 1 tell us? 1 and 2. Let's look down at it again. He tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom?" By whom? "It's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand." The only reason, folks, listen to this, and it's hard to, I know you get it, and even would say amen, but in your practical life, we've got to understand the only reason why you've got an ear with God, the Father, at the throne, is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Only. Only. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with all the hours of work. It has nothing to do with who you know. It has nothing to do with what church you go to. It has nothing to do anything about you. Just like my trip to the White House had nothing to do with me. Nothing. And yet we feel privileged. We feel, well, we are privileged. But can I tell you that our privilege is only, our access is only because and through Jesus Christ. Only. 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 Has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with how much you're doing and how involved, and because I've been a deacon for this many years, and because I have faithfully cleaned the church for this long, and because I do this and I keep this going, and because I, listen, it doesn't, the only reason is because of a person, Jesus Christ. And we've got to get that, because what that does to us, it really renders us useless when we start to fill ourselves into thinking that we have something to offer here, and the reason that I can, because of who I am and what I do. And to tell you the truth, the invitation this morning is not a sin, I got to get right with sin, and I've done wrong, and it's really not. It's leaving here this morning and recognize, hold on, Sean. Don't get to thinking that you got special privileges because of who you are and what you do. Because I'm just, oh, a pastor standing by the stuff, and I'm conservative, and I do this, and while everybody else is changing, I'm not. And because you faithfully do this, and you put this amount of hours into this, and because you pray, and because you try to raise a family for the Lord, and because you, listen, all that stuff is what God called filthy rags. Understand, the only way God's pleased is through his beloved Son. So what that brings us to this morning is worship and praise. God, thank you. God, Thank you. And we do work. We do service. But it's not to earn anything. It's to thank God. My friends, the ultimate application of this is doing things for the Lord, but not to earn anything, just to do it because we're thankful. So now when you put the money in the offering plate, you're not earning anything. You're doing it because you say, God, I love you. And I'll tell you what, that's the motivation. It should be the motivation for everything you do, including winning a soul to Christ. We're not winning a soul to Christ so that they don't go to hell. We're winning a soul to Christ because we're thankful for what God's done for us. And we've got to get that. God does not need you. We've already looked at that. God does not need you. But God chooses to use you because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we ought to take our pride and put it down. We've